the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, them guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs.
So I had to call Mike Church and say, hey, how do you get to the studio? And he, I don't remember how to get there. Simpson, you stink, man! I don't want to make excuses or anything. But we had a terrible couple of weeks there. As you all know, let me say up front, thank you for your prayers and your condolences and all of the just the wonderful expressions of love and care and concern for me as my brother left this mortal coil. What a struggle. I mean, when the pancreatic cancer came back and when it full took hold and just spread, it's an awful, awful disease. And it was hard to see my brother wither away like he did, especially considering how big of a personality he was. And how wonderful a man, how joyous a person he was, to see him kind of sullen and sunken and shriveling up. It was tough, but he kept a wonderful holiness about him, even in his death and his dying days, and was truly, it's hard to believe a guy suffering that much, was counseling other people still on keeping the faith. So I applaud my brother for that wonderful effort. But anyway, thank everyone. And then, of course, I know Mike's been talking about it on the air. We had a young lady pass away from our congregation, member of the choir, Sarah Jane. These were back-to-back funerals. I mean, back-to-back deaths, back-to-back funerals, all at the end of our Christmas celebration. And it was just so I have been away from the crusade for all of those reasons, holidays and billing, and then, of course, the terrible tragedies that we experienced. And so please forgive me for not being here for so long. I hope I still can pull off a show and know how to do a show. But thank you all for all your kindnesses. They really mean a lot in a time like this. And I've been passing most of them along to my sister-in-law, and it edifies her and it builds up the children. And they know that they're still loved and cared for by the greater community of Christians that they're a part of. So thank you so much for all that. I am David Simpson, your host here on the True Money Show. You can participate in the show. I've got multiple means by which you can do so. You can email me, truemoneyshow@crusadechannel.com. I will say email is very slow, and I don't always check it as often as I should. And so if you do that method, I might not get around to finding out you even wrote me. But that's a method. You can call the show. That's the easiest and fastest and bestest way to do it. 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE. And you can also join the chat room if you are a paying member. Or, by the way, if you are a member who signs up for a free trial, you can get into the Crusader Stadium chat room. And my goodness, there are over four dozen people from all across the United States already in there. Now, this is a little community that we are creating, that we're building, that we're growing, that we're turning into what I'm going to call the counter-revolutionary force. Sorry, is that too extreme? That's going to save, I don't know if it's going to save America. It's going to save our little communities, and we're going to build a better, well, country if we want it, or just whatever, a better something after this quagmire that we have goes away. And it sure looks like it's going away quickly because they're eating their own now. Anyway, that's how you communicate with us. You can join the chat room, crusadechannel.com/Crusader Stadium. Again, you have to be a member, and we want you to be a member, but there's a way to become a free member for a while, a 30-day free trial. Try that out, and you can see if you like the crusade. I have been very excited about today's date. I had to cancel last week's show and had Farmer Dan coming on, so we had to move Farmer Dan off. But I just had this idea that I wanted to bring on my friend, my partner, my buddy, my bromantically involved man, I'm going to, by the way, if I hope Maggie O'Connell's listening, because when I introduce Mike Church, I think she's just going to start vomiting over wherever she is. She's going to fall out of her chair. She's going to have a hard time hearing the introduction. But I hope she's listening, because I think she'll kind of sickly like it, you know? Anyway, I thought about this a long time ago. I said, you know, I really need to have Mike on my show. He used to have me on his show all the time. But I not because I want him to come talk finance. I want him to come talk about the crusade, both the crusade in its large form, meaning what are we doing as this counter-revolutionary force? How are we the media outlet for that thing? And then I wanted to talk, you know, small form too, like how is the Crusade Channel doing, and you know, what can people do to help, and all that kind of stuff, everything in between. So I really don't have a format to talk to Mike. Mike and I kind of just can talk whenever we want. I have some questions I roughly prepared, but I don't really think it'll go to that kind of scheme. I think it's probably going to just happen spur of the moment. We'll see what kind of comes out. So this will be the first, hopefully annual, State of the Crusade address, and Mike Church will be giving us the status. How do you like that? Now that we don't have a president anymore who can give a State of the Union address, we might as well have a State of the Crusade address. That's what I'm thinking. Hey, and even on the very day, what's on the True Money Show before I bring on the greatest Ecclesia, Michele Ecclesia, before I bring him on? Here's what we have on the show today. Go small and go home. I'm not going to explain any of these because I'll run out of time before I explain them all. The question, here's another segment, the question on everyone's mind, and I mean that. I've gotten calls probably, well, I won't say daily, but almost daily, and it's always the same question. And I'm going to tell you what's on everyone's mind, and I hopefully it will give you some answers to it. I'm going to actually talk about New Year's resolutions. I never do that. I have a New Year's special every year, but I always kind of advocate against resolutions, kind of thinking they're kind of hokey and you're not going to do them anyway. But I'm going to talk about New Year's resolutions and New Year's counter-revolutions we can do. How about this? One who – I'm going to do this in my financial thought of the day. One who hears and slavishly obeys. You're going to be surprised – and who that is, one who hears and slavishly obeys. And then I've got a tale of two January 20ths on this day in money history. I think you're going to like it. Now, of course, the big part of the show is Bromance Central, coming at you in just a few short minutes. But as always, I need to ask my financial question of the day, which is not very financially today, but you'll still get it. How will you make 2021 different from 2020, despite the world wanting you to not change your ways?
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
But that always opens up my financial weather report, and that's just to try to get you to think it's maybe not so bad as you want to wail and moan about it. Not that everything's right in the financial world, but it's like, who cares?
Dave, you can't say that. You're a financial advisor. You've got to care about money.
Well, I do, but I'll explain what I mean later in the show. What's happening in the market? What is happening in the market? I know nothing. I've been watching lots of old television shows because I can't watch anything else without my head blowing up. And so I've been watching a little Hogan's Heroes. I got Sergeant Schultz on the mind. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up $257.86, or 0.83%. Remember I told you guys when last time I was here, I think it was, 6 years ago? I said I had a little pundit saying the S&P 500 is going to go to 4,000 and then probably 4,800. Well, S&P 500 up $52.94, 1.39% on the day, sitting at a lofty $3,851.85. This guy that I've been following lately, I'm not saying he's always right. Nobody's always right. But he's been hitting some inflection points and tracking the market pretty well lately. And so I've been giving him a little bit more of my ear. Hey, I got to hear what he's saying. And so when I wanted to kind of like get further out of the market earlier this year, maybe go like 50% in, 50% out, I stayed a little bit more heavily invested because of this guy, and I'm glad I did because my clients are happy that their accounts are up. The Russell 2500, yeah, big deal, right, Mike, when it's all worth nothing? Hey, I've got $5 billion. How much is that worth? I don't know, like 3 cents now, I think? Russell 2500, it's up 572 or 0.67%. The price on the Russell is 858.12. Overseas, the foreign developed market symbol is Echo Foxtrot Alpha. It's up 48 cents or 0.64%. And the emerging markets, again, another high flyer. The symbol is Echo Echo Mike. The change on the day for the that fund is 95 cents up, 1.72% on the day for a price point of $56.20. Only thing in the red today is the Barclays Aggregate Bond, Alpha Golf Golf. It's down 2 measly cents or 0.02%. The price is still very high at $117.39. Okay, so I told you I'm going to do my This Day in Money history inside the Financial Weather Report. How do you like that? I'm changing it up a little bit. This is called A Tale of Two January 20ths. So January 20th, 1999. That's when we actually had some semblance of rationality still parading around in the universe. There were people who had gray matter that functioned. There were guys who said things that actually might come true because they were based in reality. But listen to this. January 20th, 1999. I'm going to give you the other January 20th in a minute. January 20th, 1999, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan testified to the House Ways and Means Committee that there is, quote, a possibility, close quote, the stocks will, quote, have difficulty, close quote, sustaining their recent returns, and that investors are expecting substantially greater growth in profits than has been experienced of late. So now they kind of make fun of him in this little article that I was reading because they say, oh, the NASDAQ then jumped 7.32 points, so Greenspan was all wet. No. This is 1999. What was the date? January 1999. It wasn't till the end of that year that we had the giant tech bubble burst and we lost a whole bunch of money through 1999 and 20 and the year 2000. So I was living through that. I remember it. Had lots of clients who were complaining about it, and they'd gone all in on the tech thing. And I said, well, you got hit by the tech wreck. Good for you. But anyway, Greenspan kind of saw it coming as early as January 20th, 1999. Now, what's the other January 20th? My tale of two January 20ths. This is from today's news, January 20th, 2021. Here's the headline. Stock market today. Investors cheer Yellen remarks on stimulus and taxes. Pseudo-president-elect Joe Biden's pick for Treasury Secretary sets a market-friendly tone in congressional hearing. Now, by the way, president-elect would probably be, how about this? How about president-direct? Meaning we were directed to have him as president. How about president erect? So long as he's standing there, and he's the president because he's the one standing there. We can end up with all kind of names, but we'll just call him fake president elect right now. I guess that'd be good enough. Joe Biden's pick for Treasury Secretary sets a market friendly tone in congressional hearing, lifting investor spirits. Listen to this: the former Federal Reserve Chair, that's Yellen, urged listeners there to act swiftly and strongly on additional COVID-19 aid, saying, quote, the smartest thing we can do is act big. Okay, now, look, I'm sorry, but you compare that to what Greenspan actually was talking about reality. I wasn't a big Greenspan fan. It doesn't really but Greenspan's talking about reality. He's giving you data. He gave you details, you know. They're going to have lower profits. We're going to have difficulty achieving recent returns, on and on and on, right? So he's actually, and knowing Greenspan, he probably had a book about 4 inches thick that supported all of the assertions he's making. So now the Treasury Secretary says the smartest thing we can do is act big. I don't even know what that means. Okay, I believe that we're all going to make $1 billion. Yay! How about this? I think we ought to just give everyone a virus shot and a lollipop because they'll really like those lollipops after they get their shot, and that's acting big. This is, you know, Mike and I were talking before the show. The insanity has gotten to such a such a level that it's not you can't even call it insanity. I sent him an email. I don't know if you got that, Mike, but I sent an email to Mike that there's a psychiatrist now. We actually are saying we're actually all suffering from a massive statewide, nationwide delusion where you don't. It's not that you're insane. It's that you believe all these falsities and live in that false universe. That's what we're doing. And now we have a Treasury Secretary who's doing the same thing. So there you have it, the tale of two January 20ths. A mere, 22 years ago, we could say people actually still use their brain. And now 22 years hence, January 20th, 2021, you might as well go ahead and have the lobotomy done. We don't get upset about it around here. We just kind of poke fun at all of it. You know, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when everybody loses their mind collectively. We just lose our mind. And no one thinks much about it. They just keep going, oh, okay, well, he's the president now. Okay. Have you ever wondered that really if you're installing a new, if your leader, if everyone voted for this guy, right? If everyone voted, would we need guns? To protect, well, we need guns circling the government buildings to prove it and to protect him. I mean, something's awry here, guys. I watched that last night. I saw a little brief news clip, and I saw the military standing around our Capitol, and I just about cried. Oh, okay. So my free country is now a military dictatorship. Oh, thank you. I'm so happy. That makes me feel good all over. Well, I was going to do a few New Year's resolutions before I brought the great Michaela Ecclesia on the show, but I don't think I'm going to have time to do that. So instead of doing that, what I'm going to do is a little plug for something. I was perusing Mike Church's website and the Founders Trading Post. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Lent is like, a month away? I think it's a month away. So 4 weeks. Here's my point. You don't have a whole lot of time to chow down on meat. For much longer, okay? In other words, you're about to be meat-deprived for quite some time. So here's my suggestion to you. I was perusing the little Founders Trading Post, and I saw the King Dudes Acadiana Steak Rub. What a segue, Dave! I saw the King Dudes Acadiana Steak Rub. I don't know what Mike did here. I have no idea. I think he took all of his barbecue experience and now his recent experience, his little treks through Doosan with all those crazy Acadians down there, and he's like, you know what? I can blend this into the perfect mix, all my past barbecue experience and then my Acadiana experience. So he puts it all into a bag. By the way, don't breathe in deeply when you open a bag. I don't think that's going to be healthy for you. But anyway, Mike says, you pour this on your steaks. Actually, I think he probably put it on anything. Maybe pork. Mike would probably put it on fish. I don't know. Mike could put it on anything he wants to barbecue. And he says, it will make you succulent dinner. And considering the fact that you only have like a month before you won't be able to eat any of this, I suggest you go to the Founders Trading Post right now. What's it? $8.95 for a bag of the King Dudes Acadiana Steak Seasoning. Go there, buy it now, barbecue from now until Lent, and then, put it away until until meat comes back. That's my suggestion of the day for supporting both the crusade, barbecue, and just having a nice life until all this other stuff happens. Okay. Can you get Candace on the phone? I need her to listen to this. My guest today... Oh, my guest today is Mike Church. Oh, can I tell you, it took me only 2 seconds to think of what song I should play to welcome the King Dude to my show.
Oh. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. And the moment that you wonder.
Yeah. Wait, should we wait to the chorus? Mike, I've been wanting to tell you something.
And you come to me on a summer breeze. Keep
it. This is what you call a bromance happening on air.
And it's me you need to show.
Mike's actually blushing. I couldn't think of a better way to bring you on the True Money Show than to tell you, my brother, my Brista, I love you.
I love you too.
How do you like that, Mike?
People are gonna get the right idea. You could have segued and just gone straight over to Too Much Heaven.
You know what's funny? What's funny is the minute I put the song on, Mike just leaned back and said, "Oh, for God's sakes, what are you doing to me, Simpson?"
By the by, you can eat meat on Sundays in Lent.
Well, yeah, I guess you could barbecue all day Sunday if you want.
I was told that Sunday is a feast day every Sunday, every week, doesn't matter what the season is.
Yeah, I know, but you know, lately I've been a little, and I do that too. I used to be hardcore and not do it, thinking I was being uber Catholic special, you know, and then somebody told me, that's not right, that's not correct. You're actually hurting Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection here. Give him a little resurrection day, right? So I agree with you. Absolutely, positively, you're right. I should have said that. So you close up the steak rub all from Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but then you jack it back open on Sunday.
It was named Acadiana at the suggestion of an admirer because people would recognize the name and think it was cool. To tell a family secret, my mother was a Dutch. To tell the secret of it, it is actually a meat-driven or a red meat-friendly version of the great, wonderful Catholic brother of ours. It was such a joy and a dream in the kitchen. You know him, Chef Paul Prudhomme.
Oh, yeah.
That was Chef Paul's his basic ingredients for blackening, and he would give it out freely. He'd tell you. So I basically took Chef Paul's and then added some stuff that would make steak jump.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing is the method, because people can look at the method and go like, I ain't doing it. I'm not throwing my steaks in the freezer, King Dude, not doing it. Now, everyone that's tried it and has done it goes, it works! And it does.
Yep.
And it is a...
So all that method is described in the front of the bag there?
You know, it's on a little instruction sheet that we send out with it.
Okay.
So, and when spring rolls around and Lent is over and we fire back up the Cooking with the King Dude show, I'll actually do a whole video series on that to show this is how you do it. And I think we'll use as an intro song, How Deep Is Your Love? Because everybody loves steak.
Yeah, I like I said, I hope Candace is listening, because when you get home and you pick her up off the floor when she's like still kind of like in a semi-comatose state, you're like, what the heck were y'all doing? That's disgusting. All right. Well,
she is not listening in that I know. I sent her a message and I said, you need to listen. And she told me no.
She probably said, I listened enough this morning. I don't need to hear anymore. All right. So we're doing what I've been dreaming about, State of the Crusade address. Now, this is going to be a little bit more, back and forth, right? Mike, he's not going to just get up and do a one-hour address to you. But I'm going to ask you the easy, hard question right out the gate. Mike.
Okay.
What is the state of the crusade?
So do you mean the crusade writ large?
I do. Like, what do you think people are thinking, feeling? Where are they going?
Well, I can draw on my 28 years of experience and shed a little more light on this than your average $1.5 million paid by Fox News professional news analyst can, because I've actually seen it from the bottom up. As a matter of fact, I still play handball with the curb and see it from the bottom up. I've never seen it even from the halfway point. So in 1994, we had the revolt against the Clintons. And you remember that the big thing then was you would take the C and the Clinton and you would make it the sickle part of the hammer, right?
Right.
There was a big a pretty good sized revolt.
I remember that one
against Hillary's care, and Hillary and Ira Magaziner's attempt to take over the healthcare system. And, of course, they failed. And in that year, the Republicans took the House of Representatives back for the first time since 1954.
Yeah.
No, 1950. So it had been 44 years, the longest streak of one party running the HOR. And when that loyal opposition got in there, and I'll give Newt credit, he did actually in 1997 and 98, they actually got a 0.0 debt. They balanced the budget. They actually did some of the things that they said that they were going to do.
In the contract.
In the contract for America. Yeah. I'm not even, was that a plank in the contract?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was a plank in the contract. So that was a medium-sized revolt that was marginally successful, but the deep state had other plans. And, of course, Bubba got completely sidetracked with the Lewinsky affair and the impeachment, and that completely kneecapped his second term. Newt was pretty much running the government. And, again, you go into 2000, and you could have had, as Congressman Paul said, in 2000, you could have had not only a balanced budget, but in 4 years, you could have eliminated, completely eliminated the income tax. Just phase it out,
mm-hmm.
because you don't need it. It was not needed.
Right.
And then when they didn't do it and we got wars and all that, you know, I'll skip ahead to the second revolt was obviously after Obamacare and the TARP bailout and the Porculus Succubus stimulus bill and then the bailout. Well, they're going to get a bailout, aren't they? The bailout of General Motors and the government. And then, of course, you had Dodd-Frank and all these other monstrous creations of Congress. And it was just a horrific and very successful power grab. They never gave that power back. Bush gave us the NDAA, he gave us the military, the War Powers Act on steroids, and Obama just took all of those things and ran with them and then piled on top.
Mm-hmm.
So there was another revolt, and you and I had met around that time, and we were part of that. It was a Tea Party pushback. And I actually, I believe that if Boehner had not won, if the Republicans had not won the House back in 2010, the Tea Party may have actually been, you might have gotten a Trump in 2012 instead of a Romney.
Well, you know, Mike, so I'll interrupt you there with one thing. So I was working in the conservative movement in the 1994 pushback, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was working in Texas, so I remember Dick Armey rising to some prominence at that point in time. But, and then I remember, yes, I absolutely remember the Tea Party thing. Notice, though, both of these things, besides massive government programs being instituted, it's always about the money, right? People are bitching about the money.
Right.
And this is a true money show, so I'll add this little part. Guys, so long as you're just mad that they're misusing your tax dollars or abusing the taxing privilege or taking your money, as long as that's your only problem with this, you're going to fail because it's a much deeper moral and psychological problem. The government shouldn't be doing these things, and we're just kind of winking about that, like, oh, well, I don't care if a Republican does it. No, you've got to object on principle every time they do something wrong.
Right. And they didn't.
And
maybe now that will happen. So you fast forward to 2009, April 15, 2009. You guys had a big rally on the lakefront here. I was at the one at the White House in Lafayette Park. Rick Santelli's Tea Party came roaring out the gates, if you will. And it was an answer to all those things, Obamacare and all that I had mentioned. And it was successful in as much as maybe it stopped Obama from doing some things that climate change things, cap and trade or whatever that they had wanted to do. So maybe as much as that stopped it, but the Republican Party at that time had completely sold its soul, and it was truly what Dirksen said, that there's only two parties, there's only one party in Washington there. There's this side of the dime and that side of the dime.
And you remember how the Republicans tried to run in front of the Tea Party to get, like, they were in charge of it and they were leading it, right, the whole time?
Right.
Remember those guys coming out to all these...
Right, but the point being is that you had the Tea Party, and it was so successful that it was the biggest one-sided blowout in the history of the House of Representatives, the biggest flop from one party to the next. And it still stands.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a kind of an electoral success, but it was an absolute unmitigated disaster for the rest of us. Because as soon as Boehner got the gavel and Pelosi was sent back to Siberia or to her ice cream freezer, you know, everything ended.
Yeah.
We were getting 100 people at a meeting in 2010, 2011. 2012, once the Congress got sworn in, 15,
yeah, and
20.
We had to call them to get them out.
Yeah, and finally it just got to the point where no one wanted to go.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get anyone interested in local. So it disbanded, the Refounding Fathers Society. So the state of the crusade then was, well, it's just the R's versus the D's, the Reds versus the Blues, and then along comes Trump. And the Trump wave of 2016 was nothing like the Trump wave of 2020. There's always been this very vocal distrust, and I don't know how much people believed it of government from those that call themselves conservatives and Republicans, and it's a healthy thing. You should. I can't remember who said it though that when you start trusting government to do things, and you don't distrust it, you're going to have tyranny. You're going to have a problem, and that's where we were. In the ensuing Trump years, it became fashionable to do and point things out that you and I and Congressman Paul and others were pointing out in 2007 and in the run-up to 2008 and then again in the 2012 election. This thing is too big. It's dangerous. We got wars being fought, military deployments in 183 countries, budget deficits that now stretch into the trillions. You can't even imagine in your mind what a trillion is. This is a huge problem here, and it's all being done for the benefit, it seems, of everyone that's not us.
Everyone
that's not us. If you're, you're saying if you're not at the dinner table, you're on the menu. and I think that there has been, I don't want to say the Great Awakening, but there has certainly been a turn of people, because in year two and three, and then in the last year of the Trump presidency, he ratcheted up his rhetoric against what we call the deep state. Now, there's a bunch of people running around out there. He didn't do enough. He didn't do this to the deep state. He didn't do that, et cetera, et cetera. He's the president. He's the executor of the laws. His power to do certain things is limited. And I actually think that he, for once, had a pretty good, decent respect for that. And he also was the first Federalist we've had since Coolidge. He resisted the urge to order the states to do anything on the corona hoax. There are people out there now that are going like, this is all Trump's fault. He did this. I'm like, any state could have said no.
Well, look, I've always said you can't turn the Titanic around on a dime, right? And,
no.
And when even when I ran for office, I mean, I was, you know me, I was as hardcore conservative, if you want to, whatever the old term conservative, as you can be. But I said I wouldn't immediately eliminate Social Security as an example, because it'd be unfair. We'd be lying. We promised people certain things. We're going to have to get them off of it, wean them off of it, do it in a systematic process. You don't just stop something that's been started like that. It's too dangerous. It's too hurtful to society to do that.
I even think that when he was saying the American people didn't do this, they didn't make the China virus, it's not their fault that they lost their businesses and that everything was taken away from them. Congress ought to pay them back. Look, Congress, what's the difference between printing $2 trillion and $4 trillion? You're never going to pay any of it back. What's the difference?
Yep.
So to the state of the crusade. I think that the moment that we're in right now is unlike any of those previous moments, which is why I had to give kind of the history of how we got here. I believe at this juncture in time that I'm seeing people saying and doing things in enough quantity that tell me that there has been a change.
I was going to ask you this. So do you think the tenor, the dialogue has changed?
Absolutely.
You know, where you're getting more incisive type questions, you're seeing people who see it for the reality that it was, not yay R, yay D, yay red, yay blue. Are you seeing that change?
Well, I think I'm seeing it, and I'm thinking I'm hearing it. And I also think that for the first time, it's not just lip service to it. Now, we'll see. There will be, I believe, a winnowing out. There will be many people there to talk in a good game and have been since November the 4th, all the way up until maybe January the 6th. Some of them started to bail. You could see the crack. And now that the Biden regime has been installed, and then they have to make their peace with it because they can't give up the second vacation home or the 110-inch TV that they've been lusting after to replace the 100-inch. Many people, I believe, that are with us right now won't be, but the number that are going to remain is significant. And they're saying things like, I don't recognize that man. I do not recognize that man or that election. It's illegitimate. It's illicit. It's immoral. It's unconstitutional. It's criminal. Whatever you want to call it.
All of the above?
For all the above. So for the first time in our adult lives, you actually have a significant millions, maybe tens of millions, tens and tens of millions of Americans who aren't radicals. They're not all conspiracy theorists. Most of them are productive citizens. You know many of them from your neighborhood and your town that truly this time have gone like, okay, we don't matter. It doesn't matter what we do. We can go to the polls and vote all we want. We can go out to rallies and we can say we support this. We can call our governors. We can write our state representatives. They won't let us take the masks off.
Right.
They won't let us sit next to each other.
Travel.
In a restaurant. We can't travel. Now, there have been some that have made their peace with it. I think there are some people that even after the corona hoax ends, they'll be wearing a mask the rest of their life because they have been convinced that there is this uber junta virus out there. And if you inhale one of them, you get it and you do this three week work suffering in the history of the human race. And then you die with this big, giant, bloated lung, you know, where the rest of your body is withered away to nothing, but you're filled with the corona. They've done a good job of scaring many people into submission.
Or just forcibly acquiescing. So my two nieces came in from Hawaii this Christmas vacation, mm-hmm. right? They were forced to take a test to leave Hawaii, to fly out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they go back, they have to take a test ahead of time. If they don't test positive, they can fly into Hawaii, but they still have to quarantine for 14 days. If they do test positive, they can't even get on the flight to come home. And it's just like – and they're telling me this as a matter of fact. These are young girls, both 18 and 22, 23. And, of course, they know I object. I know they object. But they're still telling it to me in such a matter-of-fact kind of way like, well, that's just what I got to do. I mean, you know. And I'm thinking – where do we ever get to the world where I've got to do things I completely, absolutely, positively disagree with?
And that science that you learn does not say that you should do.
Correct.
So back to the state of the Crusades, you do have this sea change. And these people basically are of the mindset where I had suggested back in 2010 or so that, look, there's a way out of this. State of Louisiana, if we had enough of us agreed, you know what we do? Next time when there's a federal election in 2012, we're not sending any members to Congress or Senate.
Yeah.
We're not having a federal election. Blank you. We're going to go our own way and do what you got to do. We're not sending you any more money. We don't care if you send us any back. If you need to come get your military hardware, come get it. But we're severing ties. It's simple as that. Don't have a congressional election. Part of the problem solved.
Yeah.
and you remember this. We did Tea Party meetings on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think people now will actually agree with that because they're done with federal elections. Now, this is the biggest Rosetta Stone awakening moment for these 74 million people. Let's throw 20 million of them out as seniors that can't do anything about it anyway. And maybe another 10. Okay, if we took the 50, let's start with a nice round number, 54 million. And if you took that and you did the John Adams formula, one-third timid, one-third Tory, and one-third true blue. So throw the two-thirds out, and that leaves you with what? That's a nice core, about 18 million people. As Sam Adams said, I don't need a majority. I need a vocal minority that's willing to spread the brush fires of liberty. But the big moment or moments, there are two separate incidences that happened since November the 4th that have informed this crowd, and I don't think they're ever going back.
Okay.
One, Their legislatures totally porked them.
Yeah.
He's going to pork her, Dad. No, he's not going to pork her, Russ. Dad, he's going to pork her. Okay, Russ, he's porking her. The legislatures into several states completely abdicated. I asked Professor DeRosa yesterday, could they have met, called their own sessions under Article 2, Section 4, under the 12th Amendment, to settle the question of electors? Professor DeRosa, constitutional scholar, a PhD at Florida Atlantic University. Yes, Mike, they could have, they should have. The legislatures of those states were namby and pambying around. Oh, well, our governor won't do it. Blah, 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 blah. They absolutely had the authority. They wouldn't do it.
I ran into a rep. You know what he said, Mike?
What?
Oh, I'm going to let... He didn't say it this way, but this is the translation I'm going to give. It's almost this. I'm going to let the liberal Dems at the Washington level play their hand. They're overplaying it, and that'll come back to haunt them. So in other words, like, all I got to do is sit here and let them destroy themselves. Oh, yeah, that's really...
That's a great... I know who said that to you, too. That's a great formula, Larry. Great idea. I mean, come on, man. So you've had your state legislature. Ask Nino Vitale. You talked to Nino.
I did.
Nino's the only voice of reason in the entire Ohio, or there may be two or three other guys that are with him. Ask Nino Vitale. He doesn't even like his own legislature.
I know.
And he will tell you, Mike, I can't get anything done at the state level. So we always said and thought, and back in our Tea Party days when we did the Refounding Father Society, we always said and thought that if we just bring power back to the states. No, it won't work.
Not really.
The states are drunk on federal bailouts.
Yep.
And you don't see it because you think the feds ran a $1.4 trillion deficit or $900 billion. And you're like, where did they spend all the money? You spent it. They send it back to you in block grants for Medicaid, Medicare's, AFDC, name the Hades forsaken, the Department of Transportation, the Environment, Department of Energy, Education, et cetera, et cetera. They can't spend that money. They have to rely on the states. They send down what are called unfunded mandates, and then the states get on bended knee and beg and plead through their members of the House of Representatives and their Senate to send the money back, right? What a racket these guys have.
Right.
Well, now you see that you and I, when I tell people, because they always looked at me like, that's a lie. You just don't like the government. No, I don't like, you're right, I don't. Now they've seen that they can't go to their state legislature. You can't go to the state legislature. You know, even here in Louisiana, where after 6-7 months, they finally served our governor a petition. It stopped, dude. We're invoking a law that was signed by a previous governor, and we have the authority. We're ending yours. What did he do?
Well, but the sad thing is it just stalemated. It's just now it's just,
right.
And everybody's just still doing the same stuff they used to do under his alleged mandate.
So the first thing is we've seen, you can't even go to your state legislature. They're not going to bail us out. Do not, we're going to secede. You're going to get a legislature to do that?
I mean,
that ain't
going to
happen.
Look, I will tell you, I was telling the guys in the chat room, absolutely keep working on your local reps. Of course you work on them. But like Mike said, the deck is stacked against us at that level, even at that level.
So the first thing is that you can't rely on your states. The second thing is the executives in those states at every level, governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, almost attorney general, name it. Almost every single one of them also was in it. So you got you see where I'm going with this? The legislative branch has failed to where it's closest to you. Look right across the street from here.
Yeah.
This nitwit did his own mask mandate right here in the parish. Little tyrant. I wrote him a letter. You know what? He sent me a form letter back.
Oh,
I sent him to science. He sent me a form letter back as if the two are the same. So the executive branches are gone. And then the fait accompli that has cemented this particular moment in the minds of all those people, you want the state of the crusade, is they now know that the lib left completely owns the judiciary. There is no – when you tell the state of Texas and 26 other states you don't have standing in an election they all voted in where they have direct standing and, hey, pissant, piss off.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of our high and enlightened Supreme Court. This court isn't for you. Well, then who is it for? If it's not for the people of the United, if we don't have standing, well, then finish the equation. Who does?
Yeah, and yet, now you just talked about the unification of legislative, executive, and judicial branches in one name, which is the deep state.
So you'd have concurrently, let's give Trump credit for this, whether he intended to do it or not, at simultaneously, you got 54 or that nucleus now of 18, 20 million people now fully seeing we're screwed. The three branches of government lie is a lie. You can't you can't vote your way out of this. That's off the table here. You're going to go to a judge and get you can't judge your way out of it, and you can't executive branch your way out of it. So people right now, the state of the crusade is they're angry, they're bitter. They are completely don't trust anyone. Hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. You hear the Glock cocked, right?
Yeah. I wish you heard a few more times. Yeah, sure.
So where I think the state of the crusade is for the first time in my entire life is that trust is building, and I don't think it's going away. And I don't think that
trust building in alternative. You mean
trust building, and there has to be another way. And I'm even hearing good things, like people talking about, well, how do we start our own banks? Yeah. Something you've been talking about. And I go like, guys, you can't start your own bank with Federal Reserve money. So you really got to think this through.
Yep.
And you've got to start really, really, really small. Maybe the bank isn't really even a bank. Maybe it's a trade association where you barter chickens and eggs for blacksmith services or car. This guy can fix cars, car repair, or whatever the case may be. But it's come down to now there is no movement that – can nationally speaking, if you will, it can't even sub-nationally at the state level. So it's come down to it. Miss Cindy in Florida has it right when she called me last week. Mike, I'm done with all of it. I'll have my meetings. I'll talk to people in other states about it with the Tea Party Patriots and all. But to me, it's all come back to where it should have been. And this is what I think the state of the crusade is. Kitchen table politics.
I'm with you. That fits in very well how I'm going to answer my own financial question today later on. You want to take a break at the top of the hour? Or you want to
let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll do the state of the crusade.
You're listening to the Mike Church and David Simpson on the True Money Show Crusade Channel, the last live resistance radio station standing.
People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Caray can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channels Crusade.
Money don't get everything, it's true. But what it don't.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Don't worry, Matt. You did not miss the state of the crusade. It continues right here on the True Money Show. I am David Simpson, the financial guru. That's G-O-O-R-O-O to the stars. I am here to help you understand everything you know about money, which sadly is quickly becoming
Get away from it. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. I have Michaela Ecclesia on the line. Actually, he's in the other room. I'll admit it. He's here with me talking about the State of the Crusade. And I can tell, Mike, I can tell you like to be on the other side of the interview because I ask one question. You just, I'm going to tell you. And he's all over it. He's all over it. But I like that because, you know what? I might just can everything else I have on this show, put it back in my folder, and do it for next show. I've already got next show prepared. Mike is a great guy. Can you tell we like to talk to each other? And I hear people say they actually do miss our Wisdom Wednesday, so we do probably need to...
We need to bring it back and give Brother Andre a break once a month.
Yeah, we need to do that. I told you I wanted to do that. We probably ought to do that. People seem to like it. We're good together. Should I play the love song again or just go ahead and leave
it?
Don't play the love song. For the love of goodness, don't play
By the way, you're a good Louisiana boy. Are you sure that you're not a G-O-U-X?
Well, speaking
R-O-U-X.
Speaking of Rue, these people are throwing meat. They're throwing slabs of meat in the chat room. I don't know if you saw that. All talking about your what is it, butt and something?
Well, there's two different rubs. There's the Acadiana steak rub in there, and there's the beast and butt rub, and that's for pork.
Beast and butt rub. Okay, well, I think it was a beast and butt rub that was thrown in the chat room. And I don't know if you guys know this. I've taken a special fasting exercise for Wednesdays for a purpose I can't reveal. But anyway, I'm fasting. I'm fasting on Wednesdays, and you're throwing this meat in there, and it's killing me, but I am going to go eat this afternoon, this evening, because it'll be my only meal today, and I'm going to eat, and maybe I'll find something like that to throw the beast and butt rub.
David, I want to go back to our State of the Crusade.
Absolutely.
Just before we proceed to the State of the Crusade, because some people or some listeners in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat had some observations about the three pillars of the government that you can't go to for relief. And there's another part of that. If you don't believe that, then here's what should convince you. The people that I'm talking about saw this with their own eyes. They read about it, they heard it, they saw it with their own eyes. It wasn't us talking about, well, this happened in the Soviet Union in 1917. They actually saw the vicious, menacing, let's just call it what it is, the hyperbole, the hubris that the ruling class, that the oligarchy, we have an oligarchy, that the oligarchy rules with. They don't care if we know. I mean, the big takeaway is we stole it, and we don't care if you know about it and don't like
it. We'll put troops around the Capitol to keep you.
We will show you what happens to people that disagree with us.
Absolutely.
So there's 60,000 or 30,000, however many. This is what's going to happen to you if you step out of line and if you don't think that we'll come and do it to you. So, again, here's what they can't do, and they couldn't do this to one of the great unkept, little-known secrets about life in the Soviet Union under Lenin, then Stalin, then was it Khrushchev, and then Brezhnev, and then Gorbachev. Life in the Soviet Union is that if you're a Catholic, yes, they were Russian Orthodox. They had a communion with the Tsar, Mitre Tsar. Okay, they didn't have obedience to the Pope. They still had a pretty strong catechism, and they had what they called, up until Lenin, they had a holy monarchy. Tsar Nicholas II, they considered him to be a holy authority whose responsibility was for their souls and for the upkeep of the government.
Yep.
Just like Blessed Charles. Were they in communion with Rome? No, they were not. Okay, give them a pass on that and look past that. Those people never lost the faith, and we had that on the best of authority from them. Solzhenitsyn came here and told us the reason why we survived is because we never lost the faith. They went into the catacombs, in other words. This is what they can't take away from the 18 million. This is what you must focus in on, and you must not let them steal your joy. If you want to get in their face, the easy way to get in their face is be happy. to let them know, yep, I lost everything politically. I don't care. I don't care about your stupid elections. I don't care who the member of Congress is. I don't recognize them anymore. I'm working on my little fiefdom here.
I don't think,
now go away, little fly.
I don't think much of you, right?
I don't think much of you. And this is going to take prayer and fasting. And it's going to take, you're going to have to be able to mortify yourself and remove yourself from Beast and Butt Rub and Steaks, and do without them. And at the same time, you'll be able to do without many other luxuries in life, and then you'll be pursuing a life like a saint.
Yeah.
And that truly is. It may say, well, I don't want to do that. I want it all. Well, I don't. At this point, I don't think you get to have it all.
No, you don't.
The chastisement is here. Those that are going to prosper in it, and I mean prosper spiritually in the only way that really matters, are the ones that are going to commit to the, I got to go through this, and I got to go through it and save my soul in the process.
You know, it's funny, Mike.
And my kid's soul, and my wife's soul.
Mike and I did not prepare anything of this interview. I just told him the subject, State of the Crusade, and that's it. And it's funny, because yesterday I had that moment you're talking about of, well, so what? I might lose it all. So what? I might get my hair pulled out. So what? They might knock me down and kick me in the teeth. And guess what? I still have to be the guy that I keep telling everyone else they need to be, which is keep fighting, keep plugging, keep working, keep striving. Definitely keep praying. You mentioned something. Keep fasting. Make yourself harder where you don't need stuff. You know, the church has all the answers. It's very simple. They have all the answers. Not, and I don't mean you can go look it up in a book and give you page by page how to do it. I'm saying every answer that is to the question of human existence has already been answered by them. They have the answer. They know how to fix it. Even when we go as far awry as we've gone, all we've got to do is say yes to it.
Remember that the first sin is the sin of pride. It is also the sin of Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. In the Garden of Eden, what he basically wanted Eve to do was to disobey God and then get on her knees and bow down to him. He wanted her attention and her obedience, you might even say her love or her devotion, whatever you want to say. His descendants want the exact same thing. The enemy here is of them. And this is what they desire most, respect. Your respect, which is why they say we don't want. We're not making any deals and compromises with you on tranny-manny pronouns and homosexuals and marriages and every other perversion you can think of. I don't want you to just just accept it and then personally and privately oppose it. Oh no, you got to throw in.
Yeah.
I want to see you on all fours. You got to do what they yep. do, and you got to like it. So, and this is where the pushback against them, and this takes holiness. It will take serious. But you know, God will provide that grace if we prepare ourselves for it. So, because of what has happened here, and because people have gotten to see this, and they now actually have seen not perspective, not they're going to do this to it. They're not going to. They did it.
It's done.
They did it. And the many, many people then, I put the number at, like I said, one-third of that number, 18 to 20 million. That number of people, those true blue, find them. Find them, whoever they are. And look, what if I find a Baptist? So? Well, what if a Baptist finds a Catholic? Are they a man and woman of goodwill?
Yeah, I'll go you one step further. Even if you don't find them, you know they're out there. Maybe they're only on the Crusade Channel, Crusader Stadium chat room. Maybe you'll only find them in there, and that's the only time you get a little solace of talking to a fellow traveler. You still know they're there. And when you hear Mike Church's voice, you know he's there. Why does Mike think it's necessary to keep broadcasting when he keeps getting his head kicked in? Because he said the truth deserves to be heard. If we believe in this quote-unquote marketplace of ideas, by God, the truth has to be in the marketplace, right? And so Mike keeps doing it. Does anybody ever call Mike up and go, hey, Mike, I came across an extra $1 million I had laying around. I want to give it to you. Because, you know, Mike's not getting a whole lot of help here.
Can I answer that question? No.
So you
right, no, what did Trump say in the debate with Hillary? Oh, no, with Biden? Wrong.
That's my response. Well, you gave
he did have a one-word response to Biden. He went wrong.
I don't need the full minute and a half. Hey, Mike. So you gave your summation of the crusade, State of the Crusade. Here's mine. I'd say it's the State of the Crusade. I'm talking about the Crusaders. We're scattered. We're demoralized. We're anxious.
We're fearful, but we're not out. And the reason we're not out is for what you just mentioned a minute ago, which is it is a different type of fight because it's a spiritual type of fight. You've got to get hard inside. You got to believe what you believe and never let go. And if you do that, then you win even if you lose, which is death, right? That's what our Lord taught us, is you win either way.
Like even Blind Squirrels Get Nuts, the pantheist George Lucas writes the line that everyone knows with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader, "If you strike me down, Darth, I'll become more powerful than you could possibly imagine." That's a Christ line. Yeah. Go ahead and crucify me, babe, and watch what happens. So that's the moment that we're in. And it has to be led by, no offense to the ladies out there, because we want you at our sides. And if you're a single mom and you have to run your house, okay, well, then you're the dad for the time being. But it has to be led by the men. This is a man, and there are so many reasons for that, the least of which is the man that led us, the man God that led us is the man God. He chose the woman God as the co-redemptrix, but he didn't put her in a position of authority. He took the authority. He created the church. He gave the first communion. He appointed the first bishops. He appointed ordained the first priest. He dictated what the sacraments are and how you get them. She was there, okay? So in our imitation of Christ and the Holy Family, that's where we go. But let's talk about this, because the state of the crusade writ large can also be answered by answering the question of what is the state of the crusade.
Well, hold on. I'm going to give you one. I think this would be a good lead into it.
Okay.
Because there's a question in the chat room that I'm not going to answer shuffleboard. Sorry, not completely. But it's a big tax question. He was on the phone with the IRS all day today. And he's kind of saying, why bother return file, make returns and send the money at all? Look, to the degree that you choose to resist the monstrosity, and I'm actually encouraging people to resist it in any way that they think, that they want, that they're willing to, etc. I can't sit here and tell you to break the law, but I can tell you that there are many laws that are unjust and therefore no laws at all. So I'm not going to tell you what to do as far as resistance goes, but Mike wrote a line today. I got his email today, and I don't know if you're changing your plug or not, but Resistance Radio, right? And I thought it was just brilliant. I saw it, and I was like, oh, man, Mike's on it. Like I said, we must be in the same biorhythm or something. We're thinking the same way. So you're talking resistance. I'm talking resistance. I don't know if we need to talk about what forms it takes, but maybe that will lead into the crusade on the small scale. What do the crusaders need to do?
Well, to resist the charms of this world wherever they are possible and they're not necessary. And then from the structure, how much of the structure runs your life if you have a vocation and you're in public and making it, like Shuffleboard Apostle talking about, I spent 3 hours on the phone with these people today. I didn't get anywhere other than telling me, you still owe us for 3 years of back taxes. The truth of the matter is I don't owe you anything. Yeah, but the law says. Yeah, but the divine law says I don't. You cannot, it is an unjust act against, I think it's against charity. You cannot tax my wages. That's usury. You can, if you, even a government can't, you can't tax my wages, what I use to feed my family. So how do you resist? I don't want to legally tell you that you ought to do this or that. But if you have dealings with, if you work for an entity that is requiring you to do things that you know contravene the divine law and then the law of the church, you know, I can't tell you the decision you got to make, but maybe you can find a way out of that.
I think you should start making those decisions, and all the while praying again and fasting and suffering and doing charitable works, knowing. I told Mike early before the show started, I said, Mike, they're going to come after you. It's just a matter of time how hard they're going to try to hit you because you're saying, I resist this fake regime. You've got to be willing to say, I'm going to take it on the chin. I'm going to take it. I might get knocked down 100 times. I might be put out of business for a month and a half. I might be put out of business forever. I might, and I hate to say it this way, I might lose my marriage, right, over this. Or at least we're separated because my wife doesn't understand where I'm going with this thing. My point is the suffering and the sacrifices you're willing to make are the only thing I can tell you is going to save the course that we're on right now. Unless you want to make those sufferings and sacrifices, we're not going to change course. And I don't know how else to put it. So do whatever you think is necessary, and then be willing to suffer the consequences and stand up for those for that suffering.
And for fortification on that, or for fortification is the right word. Read the lives of the saints, especially the lives of the martyrs. Somebody, I think it was the Father Damien, said it Saturday. If you read the lives of the saints, there is no saint that made that's in the Roman canon or the communion of saints that's officially been canonized or a martyr that was sitting back on a couch eating bonbons.
The saint of Easy Street.
Yeah, the saint of Easy Street and being served by servants with the finest wines and cheeses and fruits and what have you here. That is it, and there is no exception. It didn't happen, not even to the great kings that we know. St. King Louis IX, for heaven's sake, the man died on a crusade in a foreign country, in a foreign bed. So divorce yourself from the idea that you can have it all. You can't. Can't have it all. But you can have the things that matter and are important.
I'll tell you one that you can do right away that everyone talks about and we never do. Throw the damn television out the window. I mean, just freaking be done with it. It's a propaganda machine that's mind-melding you to the deep state. Everything is telling you is false. They're focusing your attention on what you ought not focus on, and they're directing your attention away from what you ought to focus on. So I have a television. I didn't literally throw it out, but I watch either old television or I put a movie just to entertain myself for a couple hours, but that's it.
Let's see if Justin approves. You can watch reruns of Knight Rider. You can watch reruns of Magnum P.I. Well, no, because Tom Selleck gets the girl sometimes. You can watch reruns of Gilligan's Island. No harm will come there.
I'm sorry. I live in Mayberry.
You know, it's a good channel to watch. I got stuck watching it at my father-in-law's house when I had the flu. Not the corona, but I had the flu for 16 days. And five of those days were spent on their couch because I couldn't get off of it. The Western Channel. And then there's another channel that's not the Western Channel. Is it not Dorado, not Shine? Anyway, there's another Western that has the old Westerns on it, the half-hour serials. So there's a lot that you can do. Kennedy Hall was on Tuesday's show, author of the Family Be Damned and Terror of Demons, made some fantastic suggestions. When you go, I don't see anything in my life I can do. Okay, well, I'll give you one, and Kennedy gave it to us. He said, no matter who you are, what time do you get up? Well, I get up at 6. Get up at 5. Why? Well, take a cold shower. Walk around the block. Get the Bible out. Read the Psalms. Find something else to do. Get up, sacrifice that hour and that hour. Don't go to bed an hour earlier. Get up at 5 and or just get up an hour earlier and then start changing your mortification. It's called a mortification. And you put yourself in a position where I don't like doing this. That's the point.
Yep.
A mortification by definition is, well, you're killing yourself. Death. Right. You're mortifying. You're actually killing yourself at some level. Well, I'm not going to eat for 3 days. That's a mortification. I'm not going to eat this meal. It's a small mortification, but it is a mortification. Do things you don't want to do.
And if you're really special, and I'm still learning this lesson. If you're really special, you're going to find a way to do it with joy, because what you're going to realize is that I'm doing this for a greater cause than any cause I've ever worked on, and I'm doing it purely out of love. I'm not getting paid back for this. I'm not getting some type of account, you know, what would you acclamations or all these pats on the back. I'm not getting anything but knowing I'm doing the right thing. If you can take joy in that, then we are well on our way to changing the course of this.
We could do an entire show on great TV shows. You can watch anything that Michael Landon was ever in. You can watch Little House on the Prairie. You can watch Touched by an Angel. You can watch Bonanza, for that matter, for heaven's sake. Who doesn't like Lauren Green and Bonanza? Okay, David, before I want to give you some time to have for yourself or your show.
No, I can go on because I have to ask you this question. So you're never going to talk about this unless I ask you.
Okay.
All right. And it's not fair, in my opinion, for all of the crusaders to not hear this periodically. Okay. So since I know you're not going to say it on your own, and since I believe it's absolutely essential for the crusaders to hear it, I got to ask you, what's the state of the Crusade Channel? What do you need? What are your dreams? What are you pining for? Do you want the guy with $1 million extra to drop by here tomorrow morning? You tell me. Because it's only, they got to know, Mike. I know only by osmosis. I hear some things from you every now and then. We go have a beer or something. But even I don't know. Okay? So come on, lay it on the line. What's the State of the Crusade Channel?
Okay, so I'm happy to answer the question and maybe stretch the truth a little bit. I sent a letter out to all of our on-air peeps today, and news peeps, and all you hosts. David, you got it. Barrett got it. Everyone got it. I want to share a part of it with you because this is what distinguishes the Crusade Channel and what we do here from what anyone else does. And that is, we're going to stand for the truth. And the truth is contained, at least partly, in this letter. So, as the founder, CEO, program, and news director of the Crusade Channel, I am responsible for the content on our airwaves and websites. I do not take this responsibility lightly, even though some of you people continue to insist that I do. I didn't put that in the letter. I do not take this responsibility lightly, and I do not write directives like this out of anything other than love for our members, readers, and viewers, and profound respect for the duty to honor the divine law before I obey the law of men. Therefore, we will use, as an editorial policy, the following language to report on or talk about the changes in North America's national government. You can already see where this is going, right? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did not seize the offices they hold by a legitimate legal exercise. Instead, they gained the office by criminal activity and directly contravening the Constitution's process for choosing electors and campaign laws against election fraud, ballot harvesting, etc. They are to be referred to never as POTUS or V-POTUS. It is easiest to call him Joe Biden and her Kamala Harris, or former Vice President Joe Biden and former Senator Kamala Harris. He is Executive Branch Chief Joe Biden, and that is actually factually correct according to an early draft of the Constitution. Or a more colorful term can be used, Regime Leader Joe Biden, or National Government Leader Joe Biden, or Disputed President Joe Biden. Third-party references, the Secretary of Defense under Joe Biden, the Biden regime Secretary of Defense. In other words, you are on this station, you are never to acknowledge. There is no such thing as President of the United States Joe Biden. He doesn't exist. It's not his office. It wasn't legally, illicitly, morally obtained. I will not honor it. I will not swear any oath to it. I will not obey. And whatever happens, happens. But they cannot force us. They cannot take from us the truth. And we all know what the truth is. Well, most of us know what the truth is. So I implement that policy, and I'll put it out there publicly. And I've already been mocked and ridiculed. That's just stupid. That's a dumb editorial. You get a lot of people in trouble. Blah, 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 blah. Why? Because they told the truth.
And they're scared to say the truth. That's why.
Because they're scared to say the truth. We've been selling lies for 50, 60 years on airwaves and as propaganda. And now, because one editorial department says, let's pretend like we're on the Planet of the Apes now. No. What? No. I won't do it. Not going to do it anymore. I don't know if this is a touchstone moment for anyone. I can tell you this. It's already been a touchstone moment for some of us.
In both directions.
In both directions. And it will be something that maybe people will talk about and go like, well, what's wrong with that statement? I mean, I read it a couple of times. I sent it to several people. I said, I made some edits in it. This is what we have to do. You got to be willing to say, this is right, this is wrong, this is the truth, that is a lie. This is a legitimate use of authority. This is a legitimate authority. This is an illegitimate authority. And we have to stop this fake patrimony, this fake patriotism that, well, you know, whoever's in power, you know, they've earned the office. And in this instance, they haven't. It is factually true that they haven't. And to pretend otherwise is to be a part of a lie. It'd be like saying that The Red Revolution in Russia in 1917, and all the events that transpired, that they were all for the good of the Russian people.
Oh, right, when they had the one-party leader running and they all had to vote for the same guy. That was a real legitimate election, right? Yeah, sure.
That's right. And so you have to make little stands like this. What is the state of the Crusade Channel? Well, I think because it was an election year and many people were tuned in and they like what we're doing. And they heard and that they liked, or they watched and they liked what we're doing. From this time last year where we were, you know, we're up like almost 40% in paid members. So, and that number seems to continue to increase. Now, when an editorial, when people tune in and go like, I listened to a whole, it'll take them a little while. I listened to two whole days of my 30 days free of this channel, it'll dawn on them, I never heard President Joe Biden. Well, I never heard the Biden administration, because there isn't one. There's a regime that has seized control of the executive branch of the national government. You're a lawyer. The contract now is in complete breach. And the successor to the presidency, by Article 2 of the Constitution, by the 12th Amendment, and then by the 25th Amendment, is the vice president. Therefore, and it even says in one of those articles that the person that runs for vice president must have all the same qualifications as the guy that's running or the gal that's running for president. Kamala Harris is not a natural born citizen. She was popped out of her mother's womb while her mom and dad were foreign exchange students on visas in California. By definition, she's not a natural born citizen. Not even under the 14th Amendment is she a natural-born citizen. So she can't be vice president because she can't be president. Contract completely breached. We're in the void. No. And look, they made a movie in 1961 starring Frank Sinatra. What was it called? The Manchurian Candidate. What were they afraid of? An Asian, right? An Asian communist. Gee, look at Kamala, whose name means witch, sorceress in Indian or in Hindu or something to that. We have an Asian who is of communist descent who is now the vice president. No, no, I will not. And neither should you. And you need to get your family the hell out quick.
Well, so you talked about it being a touchstone moment and perhaps just a different message that we continue to convey and our dedication to the truth, bringing more people to the crusade. But what do you need material-wise? What do you need equipment-wise? What do you need anything? You give me give me three things, top three we need to do to – oh, I'll tell you one. We were talking about alternative means of broadcasting. You and I were talking about shortwave the other day.
Shortwave can be done. I need 60 people to volunteer to sponsor – your family sponsors 1 hour of shortwave on the Mike Church Show per month.
Guys, this is necessary.
It's a done deal.
This is necessary, guys. The internet can be shut down. We all know it. And we're broadcasting via the internet. If you want Mike to be able to continue to pervade the truth, if they were to close us down by turning a switch, we've got to have an alternative means of broadcast. Shortwave, that should be on the top of everyone's list of I want to give to that cause.
I think shortwave can ultimately at some point be a primary means of transmission. I mean, you can hear it. You can choose your towers of where the tower, which one. The gentleman recommended to me, he actually knows me. So I went in and said, look, before I even start talking to you, this is what I would put on the 3 hours.
Somebody asked why shortwave. Well, Spark, I'm not sure what you're asking exactly, but because we don't own a radio tower itself, we can't broadcast on terrestrial radio right now. That's the short answer.
If you want to cover the whole a vast area of the world, then do shortwave. Because it skips, it bounces,
yeah,
and it can be heard in places very distant from where the tower is. Greg, I don't want to do a radio lesson here, but when the FCC started licensing radio stations, because there were radio stations that were just determining their own power, how much could they afford, they licensed the original 37 what were called clear channels. They're all still in existence. There's one here in New Orleans, WWL. But they put them on different parts of the frequency. And they did this for a reason. And the reason they called them clear channels is because in the daytime, WWL will travel about 120, 150 miles, depending on what day it is. At night, you can hear in Alaska. If WWL is operating at 50,000 kilowatts, non-directional at night, you can hear it in Alaska. If WSB in Atlanta is the same thing at 50,000 kilowatts at 10 p.m. at night, you can hear it in New Orleans. You can hear it. It will skip. KSFO, 50,000 watt in San Francisco. When I was living in North Carolina and there was a Saints game on at night and I couldn't get WWO because it was raining in New Orleans, guess who I listened to? KSFO, because they were playing the San Francisco 49ers. Oh. And I could hear KSFO in North Carolina. The point, and shortwave goes even further.
Cesare comes in and says, we used to listen to radio for Europe on shortwave. So this has got a precedent, guys. We didn't dream this up. This has got a precedent on why it needs to exist.
We obviously need an increase in finances, contributions. You know, I would raise the rate for a founding brother if I didn't think people would revolt because it's the best deal that there is in the world.
What's the most important staff member you need to add?
Someone that actually has the talent and skill and is already maybe brings a little audience with them that can do 3 hours in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person out there somewhere?
And then
that is that would change an awful lot. But then comes the problem. Then you have these internal problems where people can volunteer. There's a lot of book work that goes into this, man. Guys, running a radio station. That's that guy sitting in there. He's in charge of on any given day. It might be two shows. It might be four. Getting the audio, scrubbing it, making sure it's right, putting it up, titling it, and doing all the – a lot goes into this. And if people had any skill at working with WordPress websites, for example, that's something that would come in very useful. So finance, talent, and creativity. Creativity. You know, there's a lot of that. I can't think of everything. I wish people would send me ideas. As a matter of fact, you know who sends me the most ideas that we've used? KV.
Mm-hmm.
KV is a mine. he is a British gold mine. A lot of what you hear in the last year and a half in between shows came that KV either suggested or maybe even wrote it. So those go, you don't listen to anybody. Oh, man, that's just BS, dude, because you sent me a note and went to my spam folder and I didn't get it. I read all my mail. Just contribute where you can and tell someone, hey, you remember back in 1990 when Limbaugh was first here on WSMB and it was a big whisper campaign? Hey, have you ever heard of this show? This guy, Rush Limbaugh. Man, this guy says he's not going to get away with it.
Yeah.
It was this big, you know, there's this thing called conservatism. I never even heard of it. Rush did not, the Rush Limbaugh show did not have an advertising campaign. And there weren't billboards. It wasn't a TV campaign to roll it out. It was word of mouth. So anyone that says, yeah, but it's 2021, you can't just do it like that. But it was word of mouth. It happened. So, we have not gotten that boost in word of mouth in 5 years. And usually what you and I get in return was, I told Uncle Bobo and the one day he tuned in, you sucked, or David sucked, or Barrett stunk, or the app didn't work, or whatever. Could you go back and try again?
Well, how about this? It, whatever didn't work that day, would you please come and help us fix it? I mean, I run a business on the side, too. I teach five kids. Come on. It's not like Mike and I, we work for an hour, and then the rest of the day we lay in a hammock. I mean, that just doesn't go down that way.
What's a hammock?
I mean, you know,
what is this hammock? Is this like a griffin? Is this a mythological creature?
Yeah. I mean, I used to, you know, people would call me sometimes and say, hey, you know, I know Mike's busy, but here's my complaint. You know, and like I could call Mike and get the edge. I mean, I would definitely tell him. Mike and I talk about problems all the time and try to fix things all the time. But I remember Mike barely holding down the fort, using every hand he's got, every fingernail, his toes, his hair was in on trying to hold it down. And I'm supposed to, what, load another little pile on him? I mean, it was just, it's like you feel guilty. So look, you got a problem? Hey, offer not a solution by an idea. Offer the fix. Hey, dude, I will come over there. I'll buy that. I will contribute this. I will pay for that guy's hours of work. Something.
You know, something came up the interview with Kennedy Hall it was with Marshall yesterday, Professor DeRosa. And that is, okay, what can you do? I can sum all this up. Tolkien summed it all up in the Lord of the Rings series in The Hobbit. Guys, we all want to live in the Shire. The Shire is the homeland. That's the country. The Shire is the country. All the hobbits want to do during the entire book is get back to the Shire with the Shire intact so they can have second breakfast, mm-hmm. so they can drink their green beer or whatever, so they can fraternize with their friends, so they have this green, lush gardens. You know, Peter Jackson actually did a pretty good job of bringing the Shire to life. It's all about the Shire. This is just a little radio. This is the Shire's radio station. Don't you want the Shire's radio station to be around when you come back from the Fellowship of the Ring?
Mm-hmm.
So some of us are around with the Fellowship of the Ring, but we want to go back to the Shire. So at the end of the day, it always all revolves around the patriam. It revolves around the home. Some of those adages aren't just adages. There's no place like home. That's true. Nope. That's absolutely true.
That's right.
You rely upon what's the strongest unit of support? Well, you could say the church, but really, God gave us the family. He even put it in three commandments. three commandments.
Yeah.
Honor your father and your mother. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, and don't commit adultery. That's three commandments built around what? The family. I think God must have thought it was pretty important. I say these things until I get a little excited about it because they're true. Wait a minute, Justin. It's true. Go ahead. It's true.
Get her doggone name, Blazing Saddles.
Madeline Kahn. It's true.
It's true.
It is true.
It's true.
It's true. It's true. So just think of what we do here as that we are your little Shire's media outlet. You can have others. I have no grudge against any competition. I don't look at them as enemies. I see some and I get told that's your enemy. Well, I don't know that that's the enemy. But we're all part of the Shire, and if you're part of the Shire, you're actually then part of the mystical body of Christ. So it's really, David had it right earlier. The answer is the church has all the answers. Now, some people that are evangelicals or Protestants or Baptists may take that the wrong. What do you mean the church? Well, the church is, it's not the building. When you look at the bill, you think it's not the building.
It's the collection of the wisdom of the ages, all the things that are ever true, they still are true. It's a collection of the right belief system, which we call faith. It's a collection of God's revelation. It's everything that's good, true, beautiful, and add to that whatever good idea you can think of, put it in the mix. That's what it is. And all we got to do is hold it. Hold it.
So the crusade is, I'll give you the state of the crusade. It is from the standpoint that you have numeric growth, and you have things that are going, as you could say, they're going our way. We are, right now, we're in a better position and are better positioned to do more things than we ever have been. Maybe it was God's way of tempering us and going like, I'm not going to let you get popular until you figure this out. I don't want 10,000 people banging your door down because you're not ready for it.
Well, there's no doubt that God does those things. I think that's perfectly possible.
Yeah, and I think all of you that are members can honestly say that, and this took a lot of hard work. The fairy doesn't snap 24 hours a day, 7 days a week delivery into existence. We had to work very hard through, and many of your suggestions and heartaches, and this stupid app doesn't work. You know, it's like the parody song of the 12 days of Christmas where the guy can't get the lights to work. And at every reframe, you scream, and the lights! Well, we've been through a crucible, if you will, a trial by fire. And we still have some ways to go, but we figured a lot out in 5 years. We figured a lot out. Haven't beaten it, but figured an awful lot out. And that's, that's a testament to all of you that stuck around. But I think we're actually ready for it. And when somebody says, can they deplatform you? Well, you know, dude, I can't predict everything.
Sure.
First of all, why would they want to? Number one, small fish. There's bigger, much larger fish to fry. Second of all, I never stop looking for, okay, if they try and do this, what's my play? What do I do? Where do I go? Where can I broadcast? Where can you hear? Et cetera, et cetera. So we never stop thinking about that. And to be honest with you, it's not something that other than, okay, be prudent, have some backups in place. You know where to go. I have a pretty good idea of places to go or things that I would do. But like Brother Andre was talking about this morning, he doesn't want to be doing business with some of these people any longer. You know, if you look at the long game, you know, you say these people are out there promoting sodomitical unions and what have you.
Sure.
Here.
Sure.
We're helping to finance that.
Right.
And you go, yeah, but that's into the church. Okay, we all get it. But can you get away from it? Can you remove that? So the Crusade Channel tries to offer that option,
mm-hmm.
which is why we've worked hard on making our TV product better.
Yeah.
Because I think that coming out of the Second Vatican Council, one of the good things that came out of it was a statement to the laity. What can you do? Well, you can sanctify the temporal sphere. What does that mean? It means, like I've told a story, I walk in to the people that syndicate Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Mark Levin or any of them. I walk into their arena where they think they control, and I walk up to them as little David, and I get my sling out, and I sling them right in the forehead and knock them down like Goliath. Everyone loves a David story. No one loves a Goliath story.
Well, and part of the temporal sphere was they told us they specifically grabbed media.
They grabbed media. They specifically said media. Well, why isn't anyone doing it?
Yeah.
And by the by, I'll just say one more thing that I want you to help us with. Why are you always begging for money? Why aren't you nonprofit? They are all for profit. If you're going to go into that and Goliath and David Goliath them, you have to do it on the same terms that they're doing it on. You got to play on the same ball field that they play on. And that's where the victory is to, or that's where sanctifying that temporal sphere is the most important and the most effective. Do not concede the battleground if you have a chance to stand your ground. Like in pro sports, are they really going to kick some pro golfer out of the PGA Tour who's earned his way and has his card if he says, I'm not wearing the mask, I won't do it anymore, it is a conflict of my faith and of my intellect, and I'm not going to do it. If you don't want the TV cameras to show me, then don't show me.
Yeah.
But I'm not wearing the dang thing.
Yeah.
There are many instances where you can be that David. But again, you got to be prudent about it, right?
Well, ultimately, and Mike, you and I have to be exactly what we're telling people they have to be, which is if Mike gets lambasted and his whole thing gets shut down and the police state is that strong where they can do it, Mike's going to say, okay, and go to Lake Charles and plant potatoes, I guess. I mean, he's going to do something else, right? He's got to be willing to sacrifice that if he has to. We wouldn't say it if we didn't say, you know, we wouldn't say, oh, it applies to you. It doesn't apply to us. Of course, we might get destroyed in this process too. But so long as we do, I mean, so long as we're alive and are able to kick back, Mike and I are going to kick back. I think that's a State of the Crusade message for all of us, right?
Finally, I'll tell you the final thing that we have done, but we haven't done nearly enough. And maybe it's because we don't have people that actually have this experience. You have to be – this should be a community. At the end of the day, this is a community, and it's a community that supplies knowledge, services, prayer, support – anything in an act of solidarity that a community needs. And one of the things that this thing could be, it could be a nationwide kind of swap shop. or Nationwide kind of member of the Yellow Pages. Okay, do you guys in your little group there, do you have someone that can actually weld and make this? Do you have someone that can actually do this? Do you have someone that does steel beam construction and can come and actually put a shed up so I don't have to do business with these jerks down the street? Do you have someone that I can buy hybrid organic farming seeds from, real ones? Do you have someone that I can get advice from, like the farmer, on developing that little home farm? You know, do you have someone that can help me with my finances, Mr. Simpson? Do you have someone that, you see where I'm going with this, is we should know a lot more about what the other guy is good at, and there should be more, I'd like to see more solidarity in that, and you use a place like the Crusade Channel as kind of a hub. Well, I'll just go to the hub. I'll go look in the directory and see. We ought to have a trade exchange. You want to trade? I'll trade you advertising for a couple dozen eggs. Can you get them to me?
Sure.
We shouldn't be talking about that. We should be doing it. The Amish do it. The Muslims do it. The Orthodox Jews do it. The Mormons do it. They don't have any problem with it. Why aren't we doing it?
No, we need to support our brother. And guys, I hope you know, Mike never started this for a purely commercial return. I am not doing this for a purely commercial return. But if we support one another, we're going to get by necessity a commercial return. And that's a good thing. The workman is worthy of his hire. Pay the guy with the value he did for you. But now you're building a brother up and not helping Home Depot, for God's sakes. And we all say we're going to stop going to the box stores because they're abusing us by doing the same mandates the government's doing to us. And yet we don't stop going to the box stores when the push comes to shove. We still go to them after it's all said and done. We got to stop.
Well, and I already see a lot of objections, but we're all over, we're spread out, we're this, and you got to start somewhere, and you can't start with a negative.
Well, I was going to, so I'm not.
Congressman Paul told me one time, and then you're going to have the rest of the time. He told me, you know, we got all these libertarians that run around telling you, we got this theory, we want to do this, what do you want, blah, blah, blah. And he would tell them, you can't replace something with nothing.
Right.
You can't just say, stop doing that. Okay, what I kind of got used to.
I know, exactly.
You can't replace. And you have to start somewhere.
Well, I was going to. I have a lot of things to say in my answer to financial question today, which I'm not going to do today. And I'm not worried about that at all. I think the State of the Crusade message was much more important than anything I had to say today. So I have my show prepared for next week. If you want to listen up, I'm going to tell you some New Year's resolutions and my answer to the question today of what we should do different this year than we did last year. But it's going to dovetail very nicely with what Mike was just talking about, which is we can't despair about the distance between us. Big frigging deal. The apostles went out. They didn't have cell phones.
By the way, the apostles used the road that the Romans built.
And they went all over the world. But when they got spread out, one was in Spain and one was in, Turkey. They didn't even communicate anymore. They couldn't communicate anymore. But how did they help one another? They helped each other with prayer, with fasting. And then when they helped each other, when they came back together, with the tales they told one another. What you see?
A great comment in the chat room. You're right. We're all over. We have infiltrated their country. We have them right. We have them right where we want.
We can
right where we want them.
Hey, Kaiser, we can shoot any direction and hit one of them. No, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's only 1,600 and change paying members versus an army of 330 million. Got you right where I want you. Right.
So
don't move.
So Christland is full in existence. Churchlandia is growing in population by the second. Dusonia, I think you said, exists. Aaron, I forgot what your country's name. Brother, you got to tell me what your country's named over there. So we're starting our little resistance radio. So is that, by the way, is that going to be part of it now? Is it going to be the last live resistance radio station standing? We're going to add another word to it?
Well, Brother Andre and I, Marie, were talking about this today, about how people just don't know. They have no clue when it comes to solidarity and what that truly means. And brothers said, well, Mike, because they've been fed this line and they've been doped up. They've been fed this dope their whole life. And I went, wait a minute. So let's undope them. And brother went, undope. I said, yeah, the Crusade Channel, the undope channel.
Well, That is a true money show. That's to say, hey, so you want to do this on an annual basis or what? By the way, speaking of that, you can come on any time, and we'll do a State of the Crusade 15-minute segments if you want. But how about annually for sure? What do you say?
Well, we can for sure do it annually, God willing. I have to be here, and you have to be here annually. But you can do this. That's why we have a chat room. That's why we have email. That's why we have phones. You know, we better get used to calling people again. Because old analog, I don't imagine that they actually have kids that they've trained to be spies that are willing to sit in cars outside your house and listen to you droning on a phone.
A friend of mine said that the other day. Analog phones, hard.
So much easier. They actually have to get a warrant to do that, supposedly. So it's a pretty secure form of communication unless you're under indictment.
Well, listen, guys, that is it. I hope you've enjoyed the great Michele Ecclesia joining the True Money Show today for a State of the Crusade message. It's a good New Year's message. Maybe that'll be the time we do it each year. I'm here for you guys, not to be just your financial guy. I'm here because Mike and I met in 2008, and we believe in the crusade. That's why I'm here. So you guys keep the faith and keep the fight. And keep listening to the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station. A standing!
Okay, Coconut Man, Moonheads, and P. You ready? Seems like everybody's got a price. I wonder how they sleep at night. When the sale comes first and the truth comes second, just stop for a minute and smile. Why is everybody so serious? Acting so damn mysterious. Got shades on your eyes and your heels so high that you can't even have a good time.